In last week's Haftarah shir, we ended with a question. In the Haftarah, Yeshaya Novi says, Timei Sifasayim Anoichi, and the Malach comes and touches his mouth with a burning coal as a punishment. The Pasuk tells us that this was a kapara, and yet Chazal later say that Yeshaya was punished Mida Keneged Mida when he was killed at the point of his mouth. So which is it? Was Yeshaya forgiven or wasn't he? The Mefarshim addressed this in a few different ways. The Targum Yonason says something very interesting. Yeshaya wasn't burnt at all. The coal wasn't literal. It was a mushal. It was showing that the Nevuah was coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Yeshaya would be forgiven later. There was no punishment at that moment. Another approach comes from Kol HaRemez on Medrash Tanchuma, written by HaRav Mordechai Zev, Av Bezdin of Kalyabel. The Medrash says clearly that Yeshaya was not burnt, and that itself was the message. Yeshaya felt he wasn't worthy of such a high level of Gilui HaShechina. Hashem wanted to show him just how great he really was. He touched him with a coal and nothing happened. No harm at all. It was a sign of his greatness. As for speaking about Bnei Yisrael, there was no punishment yet. That would come later. The Ritva in Yevamos, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, draws an important distinction. Yeshaya said, Timei Sifasayim twice. Once he said it privately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for that the coal was a kapara. But then he said it again to Klal Yisrael, and for that, the second statement, the punishment came later when he was killed inside the tree. The Ritva adds one more layer. There were really two different issues at hand, so there were two different consequences. One was Lashon Hara on himself, Timei Sifasayim Anoichi. The other was Lashon Hara on Klal Yisrael, Pesoich Am Timei Sifasayim Anoichi Yoishev. One was dealt with immediately, the other waited until a makom sakana. This sensitivity to leadership, to responsibility, to how words and trust are handled, takes us straight into the Haftarah of this week on Parsha Shkolim. This week's Haftarah tells us about an episode in the life of Yoyesh, Melech Yehuda, who was guided by his uncle Yehoyada HaKohen Gadol. At first, Yoyesh tells the Kahanim to keep doing what they have always done, accepting money from the friends, and to take care of the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash themselves. But they don't. So Yoyesh tries again. He tells them not to take the money for themselves anymore. Instead, it should all go towards maintaining the Beis HaMikdash. And again, they ignore him. At that point, Yehoyada steps in. He sets up a large box with a hole, basically a very big pushka, next to the Mizbeach. Everyone is told to give their donations to the Kohanim, and the money should go straight into the box. When the box fills up, the money is taken out and used to buy materials and to pay the craftsmen for working on the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Haftarah tells us something remarkable. Nobody was asked to give an accounting. Ki be'emuna heim oisim. They were trusted. From here, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, learns that Gabe Tzedakah are trusted as well. We don't demand an accounting from them. The connection to Parsha Shkolim is pretty clear. Parsha Shkolim is about the machzik ha-shekel, the half shekel every person gives so that everyone has an equal share in the Kabbarnas HaTzibur. And the Haftarah is also about communal responsibility and communal giving. Rashi adds something else. At the beginning of Kisisa, where Parsha Shkolim comes from, the Torah talks about three different donations. Half a shekel for Kabbanis, another half a shekel for the Adonim, the silver blocks that held up the Mishkan, and then a third, all the materials needed to build the Mishkan. That fits perfectly with Haftarah, which is also about the construction and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. The Svardim start the Haftarah a few psukim earlier with a dramatic backstory. Queen Asalia, the daughter of Achav and the mother of Ahaziah, kills all the descendants of David Melech, so she can take over. Only one child survives, Yoyesh, hidden for 6 years in the attic of the Kodesh Kedoshim. When Yehoyada feels the time is right, he brings Yoyesh out, removes Asalia, installs Yoyesh as king, and calm returns to Yerushalayim. At first, it's not clear why this part is included. It seems like a side story, but Rashi brings a medrash that changes everything. The pasuk says, "Yair served Hashem kol yomav asharo yoyada hakoyin," all his days, as long as Yehoyada was guiding him. And the Midrash says that this implies something painful. Once Yehoyada died, Yair stopped serving Hashem. The princes convinced him that he must be something special. After all, he survived 6 years in the attic of the Kodesh Kedoshim. And the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Pei Vav Amar Aleph tells us something fascinating. The attic actually had a higher level of Kedusha than the Kodesh HaKedoshim. The Kodesh Kedoshim was entered once a year in Kippur. The attic, once or twice every 7 years. Maybe even once per a Yovel. Yoyish believed them, and he turned himself into an Avodah Zarah. Later, Yehoyada's son Zechariah confronts the people about this terrible Avera. And Yoyish responds by ordering Zechariah, a Kohen and a Navi, to be killed right there in the Beis HaMikdash. That Avera had immediate consequences. Many leaders were killed in the battle with Aram, and Yoyish himself was eventually killed by his own Avodim. The pasuk tells us those Avodim came from Ammon and Moav. Rashi explains in Divrei Yomim Beis, Perek Chav Dalet, that this was Mida Kenega Mida. Ammon and Moav came from Loit, who was saved by Avram Avinu, yet they showed Noah Karza Toiv and hired Bilam to curse the Yidden. Yoyish owed his life and his kingship to Hayoyada, and he repaid that chesed by killing Yehoyada's son. So his end came at the hands of descendants of Ammon and Moav. And now you understand why that earlier section is included. The Haftorah says, Yoyer served Hashem kol yomav asharo Yehoyada, hinting that it wouldn't last. Since his downfall started with those 6 years in the attic, that detail had to be part of the story. But one question still remains. The murder of Zechariah was punished right away. And yet the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin Mabez, tells us about another, far more frightening punishment. When Nebuzaradan entered the Mikdash, he found Zechariah's blood still bubbling. When he learned what had happened, he ordered thousands of Yidden killed, until 940,000 were killed. That's what Eicha is referring to when it says, "Imiharik b'Mikdash Hashem koyin unavi." So why was there another punishment? Wasn't it already paid for? Stay tuned to next week's Haftorah Shiur.